You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
Hour number two of The Drive underway. Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoke and Hot Question, and we meant to get to this yesterday. I think we've already discussed this amongst ourselves, but we did want to put a poll in the field. What will Tennessee's record be in its final two games against Missouri and Vanderbilt? 2-0, 1-1, or 0-2? As a matter of fact, I know we've already discussed this because Brandon and I think we're going 2-0.
We put this in the field last week.
No.
No, we did it last week for the final three games.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And this, we discussed it on Voluntary Reaction on Saturday. It was us three.
That's right. It was.
Toward the end.
That's right.
By the way, John and I have worked it out. I'm not doing Voluntary Reaction because we got to get this win, man. And I want to be with you, but John and I cannot win games together. We just can't.
Who's sitting in for you?
I think Cody. And then I think we're going to do it again after Vanderbilt.
Who?
Us. If you want to. Me and Brandon.
I won't be here.
Oh, that's right. So I don't know who's going to be doing it. I'll be here. It might just be me by myself. Maybe we'll get Rick or somebody to do it. He probably won't be here either because he'll go home for Thanksgiving, right?
So that's what, next Saturday?
Yeah. Can you do it?
I'll probably be able to do it.
All right. Well, it'll be me and Bear and whoever else wants to show up. But anyway, that's the plan. 865.
The fuck you got to do it with John and let me and Cody do one.
But the...
What part of John and Russell can't?
Well, I'm not superstitious. I just know that, you know, I don't know what's going on, but you know, you guys don't want to do it together. That's fine. That's fine. I'll come sit in with you, Russ.
I mean, we got to do what we got to do to get these wins. I don't want to lose to freaking Vanderbilt and have a bunch of dullards on my social media timelines talking about it's your fault because. You know, you're the bad luck charm or what, you know, you and John can't coexist, like whatever. So we're doing what we have to do. We're taking one for the team.
I mean, are they going to behave any better than they did the last time?
I don't know. It's up to them. I can't control John Reed and Cody McClure. These guys are maniacs. It's a little bit.
I'm the one that has to be stuck here with them.
Well, maybe you ought to.
Yeah, I mean, you need to
exert.
Yeah,
you know,
be a little assertive, man. Be like, boys.
I mean, you know what producing means.
Like Cody.
Means.
Cody, put that bottle down. Put that bottle down, Cody McClure. Focus.
Have you met those two? I mean,
John, put your shirt back on. We need you. Come on, let's do this.
I would have no trouble producing those guys.
I had no trouble producing them.
No. That show was a train wreck.
Off topic. Real quick, before we get back to these phones.
All right.
Did you see The Ringer did an oral history of Nirvana Unplugged today? I think it's the 25th anniversary.
No, I didn't, but I've read like other articles about background stuff.
Very cool. I went back and listened to the whole
album. Did they say anything about him? Like, he didn't want Grohl playing on it originally. Because he didn't think he could play soft.
I hear that. They talked about that, and they were worried about him playing too loudly. And, like, one of the producers of the show bought him a pair of – well, they bought him a couple of, like, rubber sticks and brushes and stuff and wrapped them and gave it to him and said, Merry Christmas, hoping he would take the hint. And he did. He was like, cool. And so he used them. He's using those
a bunch of sticks wound – to get
no he didn't
he didn't use those
he used they're like red and gray. They kind of have like rubber tips on them. They're called I can't remember what they're
like
called.
Brushes?
No, not brushes.
I don't know,
but they were soft. And he did really well. Great album, man. All the covers. Didn't do Teen Spirit. Did that Bowie song, Man Who Sold the World.
Then he did
Lead Belly.
Oh, who had that song?
The Vaseline's Jesus Don't Want Me for a Sunbeam. And then the Meat Puppets came up.
That's
there. It. those are my favorite songs of the album.
Lake
Plateau
of Fire.
And Lake of Fire. Oh Me. Oh.
That's one of his best songs he's ever done.
So good. So good.
But yeah, if you're a Nirvana fan from back in the day, definitely check that out on The Ringer. All right, we got a good sample, over 100 votes now. What will Tennessee's record be in these last two games against Missouri and Vanderbilt? 62% of the audience says 2-0. Tennessee fans feeling themselves this afternoon. 35% say 1-1, and only 3% say 0-2. You got to think those are just trolls, right? They're going 0-2. Oh, man. If we go 0-2, if we lose to Missouri and Vanderbilt with Reed and I splitting up on voluntary reaction, if we lose them both, I will be Maynardville mad. I will be in a full-on Farragut fury. Powell pissed off, Halls hacked off, and Lenore City livid if we lose both these games. Can you imagine what a letdown that would be? That would be...
That's why I don't want to commit to doing that voluntary reaction with you, because if we lose to Vanderbilt, we're going to have to go app only immediately, and I don't know if I'm going to make it through it without having a stroke. I'm sick of losing to Vanderbilt.
Well, there's no question. As much as it would suck to see Derek Dooley get a win here against us, if I'm choosing, if we're going 6-6 and I get to choose the win, it's Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Don't even have to think twice about it, man. I don't know, Missouri would be the higher quality win. I don't care. I don't want to lose to Vanderbilt. I can't do it. I cannot.
That's why, for me, the line in the sand is Kentucky and Vanderbilt this year. He's gotten one. He needs to get the other. He needs to set things back to how they're supposed to be. And we'll go from there. We'll build on this. It'll be a great season.
Do you feel pretty good about getting all three, both of them, though?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, Missouri came down yesterday, but we were doing whatever it was we did yesterday. We didn't talk about it. Like, they aren't – and they haven't said why those guys aren't playing, but one of them's their tight end. He's the best tight end in the SEC. I'm not even going to begin to butcher his name. And he is one of, if not their leading receiver, one of them. He's one of Locke's favorite targets. They lost another receiver. So they're coming in without their best offensive pass-catching weapon.
I'm sorry. I totally zoned out on that. Who's coming in without their best pass-catching option?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Missouri.
Hall is out?
That's not their leading receiver.
It isn't?
It's their tight end.
Oh, the dude with the crazy African name?
Yeah. Ekwebeke Buki.
I don't think that's even close, but
yeah.
He was their number one receiver. I thought Emmanuel Hall was their.
It's been like neck and neck between those two. And he's apparently Drew Locke's. I mean, tight end's always a quarterback's security blanket. But
everybody's beat up this time of year. I mean, we're pretty darn healthy. I know Kongbo was a huge loss because he was turning the corner when he got hurt. But, man, we
sucked.
I'm going to knock on wood again here, but golly, man, we have had – is it just better luck or is it better strength and conditioning?
I think it's better strength and conditioning. I think that Pruitt and the staff have done a really good job of managing the roster this year as far as injuries go, the way they practiced in fall camp with not taking people all the way to the ground, not practicing chop blocking live, and not letting people hit your quarterback.
It's almost like this guy, Pruitt's been around good coaching and knows how to run a successful college program or something.
He's not a pretender like the last one we had.
Be kind.
Big game this weekend. Your thoughts, if you got a reply to the hot question, 865-546-8200 is your number to get on board. 546-8200. Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Home of the best ribs in the Volunteer State. If you need catering for an office or lunch event, call our friends at Rickard Ridge. They will do it right. And with the holidays fast approaching, a lot of you out there are having office lunches, office Christmas parties. Rickard Ridge does a fabulous holiday-themed catering party. They do it for us every year.
When is it this year so I can be there this time?
We haven't scheduled it yet, but they will. They'll do the smoked turkey with dressing,
mashed potatoes, gravy, rolls. And the gravy, I don't like something Rickard Ridge does with their gravy. It's just, it's on another level. It's magnificent. I could take that gravy and inject it into my veins. Just drink it straight.
Fuck, that'd be a bad idea.
I mean, it would probably end poor. It's not healthy, but I would do it. If you want to have the most amazing office Christmas lunch party thingy in the history of all time, then call Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Let them know you heard us talking about it here on The Drive on Fan Run Radio, and they will come hook you up. RickardRidgeBBQ.com. That's RickardRidgeBBQ.com. Tell them The Drive sent you.
Tell them not to forget the banana pudding.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Banana pudding. They do brownies, too. Whatever you want, man. I mean, they will.
Mark knows his way around the kitchen.
They take it to the next level. They take it to the next level. You know what they do? They take responsibility. Something you don't see much these days anymore, these trying times, these difficult times. I had some bad things to say about Jason Witten. His performance on Monday Night Football has not been good. But you know what Jason Witten does, Bear?
What's that?
He takes responsibility. He owns it because at the end of the day, Jason Witten might not be cut out for this Monday Night Football stuff. I don't think he is. I don't think he's going to get better. I think it's a mistake. But he owns it. He's a man. And he steps up there. And today he said during a media call that, quote, yeah, there have been some flubs. I've made mistakes. You try to own it. You embrace it. I'm not perfect. I've certainly had my fair share of mistakes on live television. More than anything else, you try to embrace it. You laugh at it. You smile at it, Witten said during an ESPN conference call previewing Monday night's highly anticipated Rams versus Chiefs matchup, which Witten called a possible Super Bowl preview. This story got me to thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We had, you know, you've got Witten and Gruden. And Gruden, I was, you know, no matter what you want to say about John Gruden.
And I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
He might be a miserable failure with the Raiders, and that looks like a just disaster of epic proportions.
Complete disaster.
But he was really good on Monday Night Football. I think he's the best football commentator
really,
since Madden.
I didn't like it.
I love.
I know that's sacrilege.
I think you're just bitter.
I think some Tennessee fans. No. I think he's right.
That wasn't what it was for me. He was corny, and it just got real old real fast.
Well, I liked him. I think a lot of people liked him, and I thought he was really good at that job. Now he's not good at this one. Witten will be in the Hall of Fame someday as an NFL tight end, and he's not good at this job.
They could do some stuff to help him. Like I don't. They need to move Booger McFarland up to the booth because he is actually. Once you get past the goofiness that they've got him doing with that, like motorized tennis judge's chair they've got him in, he's actually. I think he's pretty good. He's a hell of a lot better than Witten.
I just don't. I think the three of them don't have any chemistry. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they work it out and it gets better eventually, but I just don't see it working, man. I think they're going to have to blow it up. But anyway, let me ask you this. Who's worse at their new job? Jason Witten in the booth with Monday Night Football or mm-hmm. John Gruden back on the field with the Raiders?
Gruden.
You said who's worse?
Yeah.
Gruden.
I'll say Witten. The reason I say Witten is because I think – and I believe it's pretty obvious, but if you disagree, you can let me know. But I think the Raiders are in full sell rebuild mode.
Yeah, but they weren't that far off of it.
Yeah,
I mean, Carr's rookie contract. I mean, no, they don't have to exercise. They could just he could have drafted.
No, I agree.
You don't trade Khalil Mack even in a teardown.
I agree, but they do, and then you trade Amari Cooper. I just think that they're in full sell mode, full rebuild. I think they're trying to amp up for the move to try to get ready for the move to Vegas.
Oh, I agree 100%, but that to me is why I think he's a complete idiot.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's all on him, though. I don't think it's all him. He's not calling all the shots. I mean, you got.
I mean, the GM could say no. We're not trading these guys. You're just going to have to deal with it. McKenzie, and that's part of the problem is he's got too much power right now in just one man's hands. He ain't Bill Belichick. He hadn't earned the right to come in there. Like he's such a big name and personality. Like they felt like they had to do this, but it's kind of blown up in their face. I see what you're saying, Brandon. You're saying Gruden could get better. He could end up winning.
If he rebuilds the team back right?
Yeah, maybe it's not likely, but do you think that Witten can get better at Monday Night Football?
Sure.
Marginally.
I think it'd help him out if they moved Booger up to the
Is this a bad look? Do you think our audience, Tennessee fans, do they hate? Would they rather us just be, oh, these people know they're talking about Witten's great? Like, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm in the minority around here, but
I mean, I think he knows it. I mean, pretty obvious. I mean,
they thought that Tony Romo is so good at that, and nobody expected that, right? Nobody expected him to be so great. You're just thinking, oh, he's handsome and he has got a recognizable name. That's the only reason CBS is putting him in the booth. And then from the first game last year, you're like, whoa, like he is really good. The way. Particularly that he can call the play out before it happens. He knows exactly what's coming. Like, he is amazingly good at that. And so ESPN thought, well, we'll just do the same thing with Witten. He comes from the same team. He's a smart guy. He's good looking on TV or whatever. You know, the ladies will like it. Like, we'll put him on there and he'll be our Romo. And it just hasn't worked out. And it shows that that's kind of a hard job. That's kind of a hard job. It takes some natural talent, and Romo's obviously got that, and I don't think Witten does. Now, maybe he can just roll up his sleeves, go to work, and get better, just like maybe John Gruden can roll up his sleeves and fix this mess that he's in. But I don't think either scenario is particularly likely.
So if you're at ESPN, what's your move?
I don't know. I don't know enough about like the contracts. If they're invested, would it be – like really hard to get out of and fix.
I mean, how many years ago that idiotic comedian that was horrible that you love so much?
Dennis Miller was only there for 1 year. I mean, that was a disaster.
They dumped
Rush
McDonough.
Limbaugh was there for like 4 games. I love.
He
Sean
wasn't on
McDonough.
Monday Night Football.
They dumped
him after
1 year.
He was on the NFL show.
Oh yeah,
show.
Like the studio show.
Yeah, and then he said,
"What did he say?"
He said something really racist.
It was about Terrell Owens or
I can't. Donna McNabb.
Oh yeah, he did the black quarterback thing.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
You know.
Not a good look. All right, we'll take a quick break. 865-546-8200. Your number to hop on the McKinney team phone line. Stay with us. We'll be back. Your phone call is coming up.
The Docket, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill. The official law offices of The Drive. Injured? Call 865-546-1111. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill. They'll come to you. Visit their website at wreckintoacheck.com. Now, to the docket.
Authorities say a pro football fan charged with drunken driving after a crash told police that he drank too much because his favorite team isn't any good. Police say 57-year-old Christopher Grayshock of West Milford was charged after he rear-ended another vehicle about 5:15 p.m. on Sunday. Crash came about an hour after his team, the Jets, lost to the Bills 41-10. Jets fan. Now, I could kind of empathize. Now, I can't empathize with drunk driving. Like, you shouldn't do it. Very dangerous and selfish, obviously. But I can empathize, thank you, with the my team sucks excuse. Because we've been there, right, as Tennessee fans. Like, a certain loss, a bad loss, can ruin your whole weekend. Just make you miserable. You know, Tennessee gets the Sundays after the Alabama game the past 10 years. Has anybody ever had a good day, Tennessee fan?
You just the hangover can last days, right?
Days.
Years?
Yeah.
Authorities say Grayshock told responding officers, quote, "I drank too much because the Jets suck."
Really don't feel like that's going to work out really well for him.
Police say Grayshock had an open bottle of whiskey and suspected marijuana in his car.
I'm not a grass expert.
Besides the DWI count, he was also charged with assault by auto. And there you go. The old "my team sucks" excuse. Meanwhile, California police are seeking a woman who pushed, punched, and choked a McDonald's manager because she wanted ketchup.
Oh, I remember that one.
Police in Santa Ana, California say the assault took place around 11 p.m. on October 27th when the drive-thru customer entered the restaurant through an employee door and asked for the condiment. Video released by police shows the woman attacked the manager after she was told she could not be in the building. Footage shows other employees trying to help before a man who police believe was with the suspect ran into the restaurant, pulled the woman off the manager. The pair left. I love the fast food restaurant fight YouTube rabbit hole. You ever gone down that one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. You see people brawling, like, usually right there at the counter.
Yeah.
I like it when this one doesn't sound bad because it's the unruly customer attacking the employee. I like it when the employees attack the customers. That's my favorite.
Why would it be? I mean, why is it?
That's just, I don't know. I enjoy it. Makes me laugh.
You're a strange, strange man, Russ.
You see some McDonald's employee, and it's usually like
a female?
Usually a female. Usually, and how can I say this? Because we've been really accused of fat shaming lately. Usually a little chunky.
Big boned.
She's usually carrying a few extra pounds. And, like, the customer will say something maybe a little smart. And then, like, a threat will eventually emerge. It doesn't matter who threatens who. Customer can threaten the employee or vice versa. But it's when the employee comes across that counter, when they make the decision, you could see the wheels turning in their head. And then at a certain point, you're like, oh, man, here she comes. Here she comes. And the shirt is always too tight. And you could tell, like, the bottom button is like, it's like hanging on for dear life. If it pops out, it's going to put somebody's eye out.
Yeah.
You could see her belly kind of hanging out.
Oh.
The tight black pants are like, they're full, man.
They're screaming for mercy.
They're full. Is that juicy on the back? No, you can't say. No. They're in uniform. It's a uniform.
Dickies.
Esteban. But when that bell goes off and she decides, I'm coming across the counter, then all bets are off. All bets are off. The fight, it can sometimes happen right there in front of the counter. Oftentimes, we make a quick detour to the drink machine. That's always interesting when the soda fountain becomes involved. There's ice and soda going everywhere at that point.
The McDonald's one from a couple of months ago is about the best one I've ever seen. There was a tray involved.
At that point, at the drink machine, I like it when it hits the drink machine because then the floor gets slippery.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they lose balance. And that's interesting too. Oftentimes, you can get out into the eating area, which is interesting because the first thing you see is the regular customers who would not engage in these kind of shenanigans have to scatter, right?
Right.
And they have to make a business decision because usually they're not through with their meal. And they're like, well, I paid 10 bucks or whatever for my meal. Do I sit here and eat it and hope they don't crash into me? Or no, it's just a box of chicken McNuggets. I better get the hell out of here. And so they scramble away. And then the chairs and tables start flying. And nobody cares about the McDonald's rest seating area, right? They'll just trash that place. Once they get out there, all the tables are over.
I mean, there's nothing really bright. I mean, everything's made out of like super impact resistant plastic nowadays.
Some of them. A lot of time you see chairs go flying. Because a lot of these things, when they're in like these late night places where all the drunks are trying to get their fried food on their way home. And a lot of those places just have tables and chairs, and then those things go everywhere.
There's always a couple of people just like trying to video it.
Oh, sure. Somebody screaming World Star.
There are a couple of people who are just pissed that this is happening because they're legitimately hungry and want to get up there. And so that adds an extra layer of anger and confusion to the mix. And it's just, I'm telling you, it's a great YouTube rabbit hole. You ever been down it, Brandon?
No.
Fast food fights. Look it up. It's a good one.
I mean, I remember the one Bear's talking about when the McDonald's one.
Whip that woman. Whipped her.
And then I'm leaving out a key part of these videos because they're very formulaic. And they all kind of follow the same arc when the police show up. Oh, yeah. When the cops show up, then that's always a great climax because somebody's getting tased, man. Somebody's getting tased. The nightstick might come out. Nobody just surrenders when the cops show up. They're not like, oh, the authorities are here. I better stop fighting and because now I'm going. No, oh, no, man. They're going to make the cops earn it. They're going to make them put their knee in the back of the spine and cuff them. They're going to break out the tasers. Oh, yeah. It's going down.
Things get too rad to start spraying that pepper spray they carry. It's like bear spray.
Yeah. It's good.
You ever seen somebody take a face full of that for real?
Yeah, I mean, depending on how drunk they are, sometimes they can go right through that. They just power right through that. That's terrifying when you see the guy who gets tased. And I've never been tased, but it seems like that would stop me from doing anything. Some of those guys can just, like, fight right through a good tasing.
They're on PCP.
I was banging 7-gram rocks.
Saw a guy take it full to the face, took one more swing at the cop, and they were up against a police cruiser just in the middle of the old city one night. And the cop, more power to him, he unloaded like half a can, like directly into that guy. I mean, from like 3 inches eyes and up his nose. And then the guy started thrashing his head and it went down his ear. That's when he really started screaming.
It goes down your ear?
I guess.
What does that do?
I mean, that stuff gets on you. It's irritant.
How do you get that out of your ear? Like, I understand you wash it out of your eyes, your mouth, your nose.
I wouldn't begin to know. They ended up. I know that guy had to go to the hospital because he did get tased too.
Anybody here ever been tased? You have?
Yeah, it was one time. It was like totally accidental. Fooling around with the taser. Sounds,
you didn't have to get tased in the military?
No, I got sprayed.
You got sprayed?
Sprayed.
I've never. Is been it,
they put you in the room and then they spray it and you have to stay in there for a minute?
That's tear gas.
Tear gas, or what the OCS gas.
We can't hear you right now. This is bad. I'm sorry. My bad. I should. We'll get Esteban's tear gas story when we continue.
When do you get Raj in here?
Oh, man. Roger, I'm sorry. The docket's brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell, the official law offices of The Drive. Check them out online at wreckintoacheck.com. We appreciate them giving us the turkeys for tomorrow. We'll be live at Corner 16 for the 7th annual Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell turkey drop. Come on out, and we'll give you the bird. Free turkeys, free frozen Thanksgiving turkeys, courtesy of our friends at Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell. If you haven't gotten your turkey yet, come on out tomorrow, Corner 16 at 3 o'clock. We're going to be giving them away for free. First come, first serve. Just stop by 1640 Bob Kirby Road. We'll be there at 3 o'clock giving away the turkeys, courtesy of Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell. That's 1640 Bob Kirby Road. It's Corner 16 on the corner of Middlebrook Pike and Bob Kirby, ball camp right across from the big food city, will be out there tomorrow doing the drive from 3 to 6. Stay with us. Roger, we're coming to you next, bud. Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. Get back to it here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump on the show today, 546-8200. Let's get Roger in here. Raj, thanks for hanging.
Oh, sure, no problem. No problem at all. I've been on hold longer than that. I've been on hold about an hour before, so no problem. Hey, Russ, no problem.
No, we've never left you on hold for an hour.
This was too long. No, it was my fault.
No, Not you. I'm saying. You know, I've been on hold about over an hour before. So
who left you on hold for
an hour?
I get to rambling. And,
you're fine.
And I just lose track of, of things. And so, anyway, go ahead, man.
Okay, you're fine. Okay, no problem. Now, I just want to ask you a question. I have a question for y'all about the basketball game, team. But first, I want to ask you a question. I think we can go 2-0, I think, Russell. So, I think we can go 2-0. I think it's possible. So, we've got to play well. So, I think we can do it. So, we've got to play well, you know. And that's why I ask you about the basketball. You see, the men's team, that's the. I just want to ask you. I know we got to play Louisville this week coming up. We're playing that big at the beat tournament. I just want to ask y'all about the what team we're playing coming up. I just want to ask you what's the toughest game? I know we got tough kids coming up like soon. I just want to ask you what's the toughest team to y'all is going to be for what's the biggest challenge? What's the biggest challenge for Tennessee? Biggest team who can be thinking we challenge you think? I'm just curious about you about that. You know what I'm saying?
Biggest challenge for Tennessee. It's a good question, man. I mean, I think last night we left a lot on the floor offensively. We just never seemed to really get in a consistent rhythm. We were just getting offensive shots. And then I think the other thing that Barnes will harp on, well, he's always going to harp on, defense is never going to be good enough for him. I think we are a good defensive team, but he's always going to be seeking room for improvement there. But the rebounding, too. We were not a very good rebounding team last year. We ranked towards the bottom of the league in rebounding. We're not the tallest team, longest team in the league or anything like that. So that's something that we have to be cognizant of, because
I feel like we got better as the year went on with it.
All right, we're all right. I want to say we finished
10th, 11th, 12th
in rebounding, something like that.
We got rebounding Kentucky in I think both of the games.
But we were inconsistent with it for sure.
So what's y'all answer
if we play Kansas, it's going to be Kansas.
I think it's Gonzaga. I'm more worried about Gonzaga than I would be playing Kansas.
It's one of those two for sure. Louisville, they're 2-0 right now. They've got to play, I don't even know. UVM, is that Virginia something? I don't even know who they're playing. They haven't played. They played Nicholls State. They won by 13. They blasted Southern by 50 points, I think, last night. And then they've got another game before us. They're, new coach Chris Mack is there now. How long is it going to take him to kind of establish that roster? Being in a dogfight with Nicholls State is probably a little bit of a red flag there. So, I mean, I think that'll be kind of like last night, where it's Louisville. It's a named team. It's an ACC opponent. They're going to match up and pose some problems, but I think Tennessee should beat them. And then if we play Kansas, that's going to be an absolute knockdown drag out between two of the certainly top 10, maybe top 5 teams in the country.
You're kind of sorry about playing.
I mean, I want to play.
How we do get to get a team.
I mean, I think we play with Kansas. Like I said yesterday, they've got so many new players, freshman point guard, a bunch of transfers on the roster. They're still going to be trying to find their chemistry, whereas our whole team's been playing together forever. So I think we have an advantage, particularly early in the season. Now, I think this is kind of what Brandon was talking about, Gonzaga. They're going to have a lot of upperclassmen on that team that have been playing in Mark Few's system forever. So that's going to be a really challenging game. But I love the way the schedule sets up this year, where we have the two cream puffs to open up, get your feet wet a little bit. Georgia Tech, not a great team, but a team that can give you some problems, kind of learn some more about yourself. Same thing with Louisville. And then let's play Kansas. Let's play Gonzaga and see exactly where we're at. If we beat them, great. You know, we're off to a great season. If not, well, we know what we have to work on and where we have to get better to achieve the program's goals this season.
Yeah, Barry. You think Tennessee gonna fit enough to play with the big team coming up? You think, Barry?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a upperclassman heavy team. They've obviously bought into to what Barnes is wanting them to do, and the sky's the limit. Right now, they've just got to. Those guys, fans, all of us, we just kind of have to pace ourselves. It's a really long season.
Hey, Raj, thanks for the phone call, man. I want to say a quick word about Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Urge folks to check them out online at cnbtn.com. Go local. Bank from anywhere. Trust Citizens National Bank's Go mobile banking app to let you safely and confidently bank right from your home or while you're on the go. Citizens National Bank, right here in your community, offering advanced security and convenience features that make mobile banking with CNB safe and easy. It's Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Let's check our Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot poll question this afternoon. As we ask, what will Tennessee's record be in its last two games against Missouri and Vandy? Over 300 votes now, so this is pretty good. Sample size, 52% of the audience says 2-0, 40% says 1-1, 8% say 0-2. So there you have it. I think that Tennessee fans are very confident of getting at least that one win, at least one. 92% of the audience thinks we're going to win one or two games. And, yeah, I think it would be terribly disappointing to lose both of these games. Surely we don't do that. Surely we don't do that.
No.
I mean, you wouldn't think so.
It's not going to happen.
Well, we'll see. It looks like we're getting some more visitors in. A bunch of these kids who are committed to Georgia coming to check out Tennessee.
Something's going on down there at Georgia. They've got a lot of decommitments.
See where they're at. I mean, they're still ranked very highly in the team recruiting rankings. Must be nice to be able to just kind of move guys around. They're eighth in the country, according to this is Rivals.
They're eighth?
Yeah. We're 11th. Let's see, they've got seven.
Flip some of these and we'll see what happens. They've got, 7 5 stars right now?
No, they've got 17 commitments total. They've only got 1 5 star.
Oh, they're 5 stars decommitted.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I thought they were a little bit higher than that. I'm, sure they're planning or hoping on finishing strong. Alabama's number one in the country. How many 5 stars do you think they have according to Rivals out of 21 commitments?
12.
A little lower.
10.
Brandon, four, a little lower.
One.
Two.
Zero.
Bama?
Yep.
They'll flip them on signing day.
That's pretty shocking. Texas A&M's got two. I mean, there's only, I don't know how many, roughly 20 five-star rankings kids. So, I mean, that's.
That was 25.
That's not a lot to go around, right? See, Bama's highest rated commitment is linebacker Shane Lee from Baltimore. Offensive lineman Pierce Quick from Trussville, Alabama. Linebacker, this is a good one, King Miwakuta. King Miwakuta.
Sounds like an Alabama player.
From LaGrange, Georgia. I mean, if we... Now, they have – I say they don't have any 5 stars. They've got 21 total commitments and 17 4 stars. So it's not like they're taking chances on him. And they're still number one according to Rivals. But, yeah, I mean, if we close strong, we've got 1 5-star and 9 4 stars. If we get – and, like, all everybody left, I think, on our board is pretty much a 4 or 5-star prospect. So if we add 5 more studs, we're going to be in the – top 10 pushing top 5. in the recruiting rankings. Says, hey, man, all about players. Got to get them. You got to get them. Stay with us. The Drive continues on Fox Sports Knoxville. We'll take a quick timeout. More of your phone calls coming up here. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the show. 546-8200. Back with more after this. Excuse me.
Can we bring us back in, Russ?
Got a tickle. Got
segment
a tickle.
Four.
Still sound better than Nate Hodges today when he ate that big jalapeno.
Hey, they finally I did get a response back about your proposal of adding the punishment, let the drive decide your punishment.
That was my proposal?
Yeah, you told me.
What?
You were like, they ought to have a thing on there that lets the drive decide their punishment.
I don't remember this at all, but go ahead.
Houston said no. He said he could think of no worse idea than to leave us in charge of.
They're going to get off easier. I mean, I thought poor Nate Hodges was actually going to die today. Like, I thought he was going to throw up.
It was just a jalapeno.
A what?
Jalapeno.
I believe it's pronounced jalapeno.
Jalapeno.
No, jalapeno.
No, it's a jalapeno. A jalapeno.
No, it's pronounced jalapeno.
You pronounce it however you want to pronounce it. I'm pronouncing it jalapeno.
In the Spanish alphabet, that
letter. Do I look Spanish to you?
The second to last letter is an ñe. It's got a little accent above the n.
Okay.
Gives it a y sound.
Yeah.
Good job. I don't care. I'm going to call it jalapeno. I've been calling it jalapeno all my life.
Well, you're wrong.
No, you've been wrong all your life.
Who cares?
You don't want to be right?
No, I'm just going to say it. I don't think that I'm wrong.
I mean.
Look it up. Get your little computer, Google jalapeno, and then click the little thing where the computer will say it for you. Go ahead. Do it.
While you do that, have you guys seen the new Vol Twitter hype video?
No.
It's pretty cool. Have you seen it, Brandon?
I've not watched it yet. I saw it on Twitter, but I've not watched it.
Well, let me play this for you. I'll give you the images, but the audio. It's good. It's some good Skull Can audio. Oh, yeah. I'm not plugged in. All right. Here is – I guess this is from the Kentucky pregame. This is going to be an I record from Jeremy Pruitt, I believe, if I can get this to work.
We talked about one thing, okay? It's time – program to make it stand. It's time for you to stand up, all right, for something that you believe in, all right, and you ain't gonna let nobody get it from you, okay? All right, you're gonna be the most physical team, okay? We're gonna be relentless, all right, we're gonna play together, we're gonna have fun, all right, and we're gonna execute. When are they gonna start talking about Tennessee being the most physical team? You got the opportunity today.
They did work in an okay there, in addition to the aight. He said okay, and then aight back to back. Like, it was like double placeholder. Okay, aight. Jeremy Pruitt, sneaky, sneaky, inspiring pregame speech. I'm inspired. Are you inspired?
Yeah.
Player's not inspired. He's. What are you looking at? Are you buying? Are those bongs?
No, dumbass.
What are they?
I'm gonna look at bongs. What are you talking about?
What are you looking at? What are you shopping for?
I'm not shopping. I was looking up hot sauces. Me and Esteban were having a good. This is what happens when you bring Esteban in here. I end up looking up hot sauces.
Jalapeno sauce.
Jalapeno sauce.
So Russell and I can talk about Game of Thrones, and you get mad, but. You and Esteban can have a hot sauce conversation. It's okay.
It was on the break. Me and Esteban didn't ruin a whole 2.5 hour show.
Well, it shouldn't disrupt your preparation for the show
no,
now?
No, we were just talking about.
Are we going to go back down this road again?
We were just talking about a Jeremy Pruitt pregame speech. I mean, it would be nice if you could participate. No. Looking at.
Fired up. I was thrilled. I'm ready to run through a brick wall, Russ. There you go.
You don't have to be rude about it.
Well, you two didn't have to act like jackasses yesterday, but you did, and here we are.
Okay, then. Hour number three of The Drive coming up here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.